Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
What's really been driving markets crazy these last 2 weeks has been the steepening of that yield curve out in the United States, with 10-year yields whipsawing and at one point hitting 1.6% overnight. In fact, it was up by as much as 40 basis points in February. This prompted by a sell-off among bond investors that also caught the attention of equity markets for the most part and also raised concerns about valuations. But enough about that. This is Forex Fridays, and we have to talk about what its impact will have on the Forex space, if at all, and what it will mean for the trajectory of the U.S. dollar in major currencies moving forward. Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Han Tan, analyst at FXTM, to talk to us about what he made about that dizzying rise with regards to U.S. 10-year yields and why, whether it will matter for Forex markets moving forward. Han, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health up in Kuala Lumpur. And happy Friday, if we can call it that, sir.
Yes, all good here. As happy a Friday as it can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amid the crazy yields. Yeah.
So again, the recent steepening of this yield curve is suggesting that inflation expectations are rising, but so are bets that the U.S. economy will be also getting back up on its feet. Now, we are seeing that the U.S. dollar was getting a bit of a boost, actually, albeit a belated one, because of the rise in these yield curves. Overall, though, what did you make about the sudden jump in U.S. 10-year yields and steepening of that yield curve and what it will mean for your outlook on the U.S. dollar?
Right. So beyond the nominal yields, I'm also looking at, say, the real yields on a 10-year. They're at the highest since June. Break-evens are at the highest since 2014, right? So, you know, before this, I mean, coming into this year, the thought of faster inflation, typically eroding the dollar's purchasing power. I think markets are now actually looking at the economic data through the lens as to how it informs them about their about the Fed's policy, right? So if that inflation overshoot means that markets have a shorter runway before we see the Fed tapering, which could eventually lead to the next Fed rate hike, I think that kind of outlook is providing support for the U.S. dollar, and that's why we've seen this dollar index refusing to stay in sub-90 levels for long.
Yeah, you mentioned the word tapering there, and it brings me back to 2013 and some of these taper tantrums that had to be put down or assuaged by then Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. Now, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, in his testimony a few days ago, reiterated that it's going to be a long time, maybe even 3 years, before they entertain raising rates or tightening policy. But how does this play into the U.S. dollar's trajectory, especially given the fact that his words seem to have not really assuaged bond investors and yields for the most part? I mean, what do you make about the seeming less effective impact that Powell's words have had on the greenback and on these yields?
Yeah, JP, you're right to point out that markets clearly are having a hard time right now buying into the Fed's version of events, right? Saying these higher yields are more about the rosier economic outlook as opposed to what it pertains to any policy adjustment. So right now, if you look at, say, the Fed funds futures, they are already pricing in or trying to price in a Fed rate hike by the end of 2022. So it's just a couple of years away, and it's a sooner than previously expected, right, as opposed to the 2023 timeline that markets had coming into this year. So I think how it plays into the dollar's trajectory, I think it goes back to the rate differential story, right? Because right now you've still got the ECB still flirting with the idea of another cut, and with Japan, it seems to be a likelier event than the ECB. So, you know, I think that should mean a recovery for the dollar index. I mean, considering that the euro and the yen are the two largest constituents of the dollar index, the DXY, but I think, again, it remains to be seen really whether markets are getting ahead of themselves and if the Fed can really push back on this talk about tapering or tightening. And again, it depends on their tolerance levels for where yields are at.
Yeah, right. In fact, when we talk about the steepening yield curve, another concern will be a shifting up of the yield curve, in fact. If we start to see the steepening yield curve lead to higher yields in the U.S. or in other developed markets, we've seen the yield curve in Australia also steepen in recent times. If this starts to track bond flows from emerging markets, could this actually impact some emerging market currencies? And if so, which one in the vast spectrum or complex of emerging market currencies do you think might actually be most at risk to a possible to these rising yields that could support the greenback or other major currencies at their expense?
Yeah, perhaps I can confine that to EM Asia,
sure.
Because I think that'll be more relevant for your audience here. But no, for me, I'm looking at the Indonesian rupiah, which of course from last year had been supported by that global hunt for yields. But you know, even though Indonesia now still offers one of the highest yields in the region, if that differential is compressed between what developed markets and emerging markets offer, we could see ebbing demand for the rupiah, right? And then also, if you look at it from a volatility perspective, look, that isn't going to help matters either. If you look at the implied volatility, anywhere from 1 month out to 1 year out, you've got the rupiah that actually tops Asia's standings right now. Again, that's all implied volatility. And so that kind of mindset has been clouding the rupiah's performance, or rather influencing the rupiah's performance. And, you know, we have seen it become Asia's worst performer against the greenback this month. But of course, then on the flip side, you got to take into account Bank Indonesia's attempts to manage the price swings, as they have stated once again today. We saw some numbers alluding as much for last month, and so we expect that to continue. But I think net-net, we could see some aversion towards Indonesia's fixed income assets, and that could weigh on the rupiah.
Interesting thoughts there. We are still speaking to Mr. Han Tan, analyst of FXTM, here on Forex Fridays. And when we talk about the rising yield curve, or the steepening yield curve, sorry, this impacted tech valuations. We saw the NASDAQ tumble, and a number of tech-heavy indices also pulled back, including the TAIEX in Taipei. Now, these fund flows, which continue to pour into Taiwanese markets, did lift the Taiwanese dollar. I believe it was one of the two best-performing currencies in 2020. Monetary policymakers in Taipei have started to sound the alarm that the Taiwanese dollar might be a little too strong. They've been scrambling to find ways to try at least manage the strengthening of the local currency there. Do you think that these recent moves, though, might actually do the trick and actually provide the a bit of a pause in the Taiwan dollar's sustained gains recently?
Yeah, I think what the central bank is up against, it's a tough task to actually handle, right? And again, this is a theme that we've been talking a lot about when we talk about central banks since last year, right? So yeah, you know, on one hand, the Taiwanese central bank has to contend with Asia's best performer so far this year, right? And it's on the back of a rapidly recovering economy. I mean, JP, you just got to look at their recent economic data or releases. Just from last weekend, they raised their economic forecasts for this year. They also announced better than expected fourth quarter GDP. And then looking forward, they could be easing visitor restrictions as well. And they just posted their fastest export growth in over a decade, faster since 2010, right? So, you know, and then if you look even further out, you know, if investors are perhaps seeing the Taiwanese dollar as a hedge against the potential resurgence of U.S.-China tensions, right? Even under the Biden administration, we have seen some back and forth in terms of rhetoric between Biden and his nominees versus the some Chinese editorials, right? So that could be another tailwind for the Taiwanese dollar as well. So I think unless if we see some really overt policy intervention or a sharp deterioration in Taiwan's fundamentals. Look, I think the central bank just has to continue battling this stronger Taiwanese dollar based on the fundamentals.
All right. Another currency, though, and this time we shift our attention away from Asia and look at this currency that's seen a surprisingly strong start to 2021, and that is the British pound, which is looking quite sterling right now, pardon the pun. They're at one-year highs now, Han, against both the euro and the greenback, and the outlook seems to have swung to complete pre-Brexit despair to one of upside on multiple fronts, from the COVID-19 vaccine rollouts to an expectation that the economy could pick itself up faster than their counterparts across the English Channel. My question now is, with the pound at these particular levels and looking more confident than ever, do you think that they can sustain gains based on what you're seeing?
Well, the short answer to that is not much more, because I think we're already entering frothy territory, if I can use that term, right?
Sure.
So if you look from current levels, I'm eyeing that 142 resistance level for cable that proved resilient back in around April 2018. So I think a lot of the positive news for the pound has already been priced in, right? So you've got Brexit risks that are behind us. You've got that successful vaccine rollout. You've got expectations for more economic reopening. I think schools there are set to reopen in a couple of weeks, all right? And then for next week, there are also expectations for more fiscal stimulus to be announced. So I think with all that said, I think that could still get cable to around that 142 region. And of course, the rising gilt yields, that's been a major boost as well. But I think cable's performance is not just dependent on what happens with gilt yields and treasury yields, but yet I think markets have to take into consideration some downside risks that are still on the table as well. So be it a faster spreading variant of the coronavirus, or, that could unwind some of these gains here. But really, from a fundamental perspective, there's little more to really support the case for much more sterling upside over the near term.
And very quickly, Han, the pound looking sterling, but gold not really glittering as much, especially with the recent steepening of that particular yield curve. Has gold lost its luster? And what do you think is broken down for a precious metal or safe haven that you've been looking at more with favorable eyes on more than one occasion?
Yeah, indeed, and I must hold my hands up because, you know, I was still holding on to that narrative that gold would still be seen as an apt inflation hedge coming into this year. I mean, although that could still play out in the second year, but, you know, but judging by its recent performance, that case is being chipped away at as we speak, right? So I think gold bulls will really have a lot on your hands if they're going to try and curry more favor from investors over onto their side, considering that gold is not it's a non-yielding asset, and you juxtapose that with the surging yields in treasuries, then it really gives little reason for investors to really hang on to that precious metal, right? And that's only evidenced by the outflows in ETFs that we've seen. I think year to date, they have the holdings for these gold ETFs have gone above 2 million ounces, I believe, on a year-to-date basis. So I think, you know, it still remains to be seen whether the Fed can really, you know, water down some of this tapering talk, and if the inflation actually comes through in the hard numbers beyond just expectations, then we could see some glitter come back to gold. But, you know, for right now, it appears that the rising yield story is completely dominating the markets and definitely suppressing gold prices as well.
And might dominate the markets for a little bit longer, it seems, as we head into the month of March. Han Tan, analyst from FXTM, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish dear and loved ones continued health and safety in these uncertain times and a blessed weekend ahead, sir. Stay safe.
Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you and have a good weekend.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.